Hello, and welcome once again to NaturalDocRadio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and today, lots of information for you out there who may have underlying thyroid dysfunction, but you don't necessarily know that it has to do with thyroid. Maybe you're being treated for heart irregularities. Maybe you're being treated for aches and pains and arthritis and carpal tunnel. Maybe you're being treated for migraine headaches. A variety of different issues that really have their own set of medical treatments might have underlying thyroid dysfunction as the basis for those symptoms. So what I'm going to do today is talking to you about some of the things that you might consider checking off as I read a list of some of the symptoms that people may have when their thyroid is not working properly. Okay, some of the risk factors. A family history of thyroid disease, and it's really interesting because as a nutrition counselor, I really very rarely run into a family that has some of the symptoms I'm going to discuss today and haven't had one of those family members very, very much taking care of thyroid issues, either medically or naturally. Okay, so family history of thyroid disease. Maybe you've had a diagnosis of goiter. Maybe you have a little bit of trouble swallowing, but nobody's ever diagnosed you with an enlarged thyroid. Perhaps you have had a history of miscarriages or possibly a pregnancy and delivery in the past year. Those are some of the risk factors for developing some of the symptoms associated with low thyroid function. Okay, so here are the symptoms associated with low thyroid. Gaining weight inappropriately, inability to lose weight, even though you carefully watch your diet and you exercise. Maybe you have issues with regular elimination. You're constipated, and sometimes that constipation can be really severe. Maybe you have a low body temperature. Maybe you feel cold when others are comfortable. One of the things that I look for as a nutritionist, invariably the people who come to see me who on a 90 degree day are still either carrying or wearing a sweater because they're coming into an air-conditioned space. I understand that. But usually most people with very, very healthy, supported thyroid function, they can do just fine making that transition in and out of air conditioning, making that transition from very hot weather into an air-conditioned space. Maybe you feel fatigued or exhausted. Maybe you have hair that's either falling out, very coarse, maybe it's breaking. Those less than what you consider to be your normal hair. Maybe your skin is dry. Maybe you have a hoarse voice or the sensation of your voice changes. Maybe it's a little rougher. That's one of the things I talk to people about. Maybe your face is puffy, particularly around your eyes. Aches and pains in the joints, your hands, your feet, and as I mentioned, carpal tunnel syndrome. Maybe you're moody. Maybe your mood is pretty low. Maybe you have some difficulty concentrating. Those are some of the situations that people with a less than ideal thyroid function deal with. Maybe you're losing your hair. maybe you're getting more frequent infections. And one of the things, again, that I have connected with that more frequent infections and infections that last longer, very specifically sinus infections. So if you have sinus issues, possibly sore throat, post-nasal drip, possibly really serious sinus congestion that leads to congestion in your ears, maybe the underlying issue isn't necessarily direct immune system dysfunction, but underlying thyroid underactivity. And that thyroid underactivity lowers your body temperature, and you have a reduced ability to fight off viruses and bacteria, and particularly fungal infections. Maybe you're snoring more. That congestion in your upper respiratory tract is a contributing factor to snoring. Maybe you have sleep apnea. Once again, that congestion in your nose and sinuses can very much contribute to interruption of your breathing. Maybe you feel short of breath and you have a tight sensation in your chest. I have a lot of people who talk to me that they've been to their cardiologist, they've been to a number of different doctors, and they still feel this tight situation in their chest, and they feel short of breath. They might not necessarily actually be short of breath, but they feel short of breath and possibly feel like they sigh a lot, they yawn a lot. That sighing and yawning can be a little bit of an indication that oxygenation, or even the sensation of getting a deep enough breath, an oxygenating breath, is compromised. Maybe you have, as I said, trouble swallowing, ringing in your ears, and I mentioned before the recurring sinus infection. And for young women out there, PMS, premenstrual syndrome, and you might be recommended to take all different kinds of hormone replacement therapy, all different kinds of substances, essentially to relieve the discomfort associated with PMS. But let's get to the underlying cause, the underlying cause being thyroid. Well, what I have to say today is very, very interesting. You wonder why here people are going to the doctor. You're getting a blood test. You're seeing your TSH is in the ideal and normal range. Your T3 level is in the ideal range. Your T4, perfectly normal. And so here's all of these measurements that your doctor uses to rely on to establish a diagnosis of thyroid insufficiency or hypothyroidism, and they're all in the normal range. But when you go down the list that I just enumerated, all of those symptoms, all of those risk factors, or let's just say a significant number of those risk factors and symptoms, all point to your thyroid not necessarily working properly. Well, here is a very, very interesting evaluation of why you are not necessarily getting the kind of information about your thyroid function that you need. It's because we're testing the wrong things. I routinely talk about people who have been given Synthroid, and yes, they feel better for a very, very short period of time, but then maybe they're not feeling so much better as when they initially began using Synthroid. Synthroid's T4. And T4 needs to convert to T3. And so, again, what my approach was to support that ability of T4 to convert. And you can do it with a variety of different things, possibly in a severe situation of thyroid insufficiency, you might actually have to provide a little bit of the T3 hormone. T3 is so clinically important, but the important part has been overlooked by the way we test for thyroid insufficiency. And what the important part is transport. And what happens is lower T4 and lower T3 are levels are transported into the cells of peripheral tissue. And this lack of proper transport into the cell is seen in insulin resistance, in diabetes, in depression, high cholesterol levels, chronic fatigue syndrome, migraines, anxiety, fibromyalgia, and even the symptoms associated with aging. So what we're seeing is, yes, those hormones, T4, thyroid hormone with four molecules of iodine, and T3, thyroid hormone with three molecules of iodine, the active energized form of thyroid hormone, that's what the T3 is not being transported across the cell membrane. Okay, that makes sense. It's in the serum blood. We're measuring it in those lab blood tests, but it's not getting transported into the cell. And what does that transportation depend on? It depends on energy. So here you have this vicious cycle that because the thyroid is not very, very well supported, there is a lack of energy, a significant fatigue, a significant fatigue as entire body function, but also very significant fatigue on a cellular level. It can be inhibited, that transport of T3 and T4 across the cellular membrane can be inhibited by toxic accumulation. So let's talk about some of those toxins. Okay, the toxins could be chlorine. Are you showering in chlorinated water? You're inhaling chlorine. Are you using that sweetener in those very attractive yellow packets? Very high chlorine content. So there are two very common ways where we may have toxic accumulation every single day. And that's just one example of toxic accumulation. And then ultimately suppressed mitochondrial function. And that's where we're going with this whole discussion. How can we support mitochondrial function? That mitochondrial function will enhance the transport of thyroid hormone across the cell membrane. Pituitary levels of T3 are remaining constant, but and consequently, your TSH levels are normal. There's no signal in your body, all right, T3 levels are low. Make more T3, make more T4, get that conversion process going. But what's going on, even though the serum levels of T3 are high and the pituitary levels of T3 are right where they need to be, but the delivery to the peripheral cells is reduced. No TSH is produced, even though T3 in the cell is very low. And that explains to me, which was really so important to me, it explains to me why TSH is a poor test for hypothyroidism. T4 transport is high energy required. So if you want T4, for to do what it is meant to do in your body, it is critically important that that mitochondrial cellular activity is supported. So what are some of the signs that there is no transport of T3, T4 into the cell? Low body temperature. An approach that I've been using for years to talk to people about the underlying issue of many of the symptoms that they tend to consult with me about. Fatigue, weight gain, depression, cold hands and feet, muscle aches, headaches, weakness, cold intolerance. Remember those people coming to see me with sweaters. Water retention, so that puffiness, swelling, and of course the PMS. So what we want to test, we are testing T3, reverse T3 ratio, we're testing sex hormone binding globulin, under the mistaken assumption that the serum presence of free T4, free T3 determines the cellular concentrations of free T3, free T4. When indeed it is transport across the cell membrane into the cell, and that requires a transporter, not merely the serum presence of those hormones in your blood. So, what do we need as a transporter? Supported mitochondrial function. What's the mitochondria? Where is it? What does it do? The mitochondria is the little, nuclear energy producer within the cell, that tiny, tiny cellular energy producer. And when you have low mitochondrial energy, there's reduced thyroid hormone transport across the cell membrane. So what do we do to support our thyroid function? We begin to talk about cellular hypothyroidism, reduced transport of thyroid hormones into the cell. And how do we do that? We support mitochondrial function and ultimately raise T3, T4 in the cell. Okay, we have the serum T3 and T4 in the normal range, so it's there for the taking. It will make those cells function if we can only get those two, T3, T4, into the cell. So what do we need to do to enhance mitochondrial function that will have the secondary effect of enhancing thyroid function? Okay, I've got the list right here. Now, when you have low mitochondrial function, what do you have? Poor insulin function. So you have insulin resistance and diabetes and obesity, depression, anxiety, neurodegenerative disease. What are we seeing so much of? Dementia, Alzheimer's, forgetfulness, memory impairment. What are some of the things that so many people are working on to enhance the quality of their lives? Enhancing brain function. But when you have low mitochondrial function, then your risk of neurodegenerative disease is increased. Your risk of premature aging is increased. Cardiovascular disease, inflammation. Does this sound like a list of things very, very much associated with thyroid dysfunction? Does this sound like a list of things very, very much associated with how many Americans feel right now? Why many Americans are seeking medical attention? They're dealing with high cholesterol, high triglycerides, migraines, stress, chronic infections, anxiety, depression, obesity. And if we can fix that by enhancing our mitochondrial function, and that in turn enhances the delivery of thyroid hormone to the cells, and those cells function at a higher level of efficiency, we have a very, very greatly improved picture of health. Okay, are you ready for the list of the things that are going to enhance your mitochondrial function? They're readily available. They are affordable. D-ribose, very, very helpful. Resveratrol, I can't say enough about resveratrol. Literally, I'm struggling for a word there, but let's say the miracle of resveratrol. Just absolutely astonishing. Arginine, the amino acid arginine, always very helpful when you take it just before going to bed. Coenzyme Q10. And for people who are struggling with thyroid dysfunction and lots of the symptoms that I've talked about here, you should very, very much consider using the ubiquinol version, and you should very much consider using high doses of ubiquinol. And with that oxygenation, with that change in your brain chemistry, ultimately the mitochondrial function is going to be enhanced, and a whole cascade of beneficial health effects will be established. Alpha-lipoic acid, crucially important, high-quality alpha-lipoic acid. Turmeric, we have so many research studies on the benefits associated with turmeric, and now there is even research showing mitochondrial function support with the use of turmeric, ginger, oregano, cilantro, cinnamon, and cloves. There is PQQ. That will support mitochondrial function. And then some of the things that you can do for in your lifestyle, not necessarily going out and buying a product, but something you can start to work on right now. Eat less. Calorie restriction is going to take a burden off the energy required in your body. That energy, the mitochondrial energy, will then be used for a variety of other purposes, and health enhancement is the outcome. Detox. You might consider every 3 months doing a detox. Now, doing a detox, you can do some detox tea, you can do a lemon water, you can do a master cleanse, you can do a vegetable soup, a vegetable juice. There are so many ways to detox, and you can come and talk to me, and I will give you lots and lots of suggestions on how to go about a very, very gentle but effective detoxification program. Don't forget lemon and lime. That lemon water in the morning, room temperature or warm water with lemon juice in it, one of the all-time best recommendations for detoxifying not only your liver, but detoxifying your kidneys and your blood. Very, very basic and very, very helpful. You've been listening to NaturalDocRadio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and I've so enjoyed sharing this information with you, and I do hope you come back to NaturalDocRadio.com very soon. Bye-bye.